Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I'll do a little bit of a catch up on what I've been doing over the last year to get you caught up, and then we'll talk about some more of those things throughout the lesson this morning. Hearing all the different health concerns from everybody this morning and getting caught up on that, it's amazing how much that can take over our lives. Those of you who are not older will realize that sooner or later that it limits and becomes a concern or takes a big part of your life. And I've seen that over this last year for myself. I've had a headache since the middle of January, so going on 10 or 11 months now. It's typically a low-grade headache throughout the day. Doesn't really affect me a lot unless I cough or I sneeze, and then whatever the pain level was, a cough will bring it up here now for the rest of the day. If I cough again, it's up here. If I sneeze, it goes up and continues. So by the end of the day, if I've coughed or sneezed several times throughout the day, I have a pretty good headache, and that does then tend to limit what I can do or how I function for the day. But I've gone through all that. I'm on a fifth doctor at this point, gone through all the things they thought a lot of was sinus-related in the beginning. So did all kinds of sinus imaging and testing and medication, and got to a neurologist. That started back in January, I think I said. By July, I was seeing a neurologist who really felt that it was a nerve right about this area of my head, and he wanted to just inject some painkiller in there, and that would numb it, and everything would be okay for that. But they still didn't know why the nerve was upset or anything like that. So my son Ryan's wife, Jenny, recommended a doctor over in Yorkville who is more of a, what I would call, or maybe, I don't know if it's the right term for him, but a wellness doctor, more of a homeopath type doctor. And so he did some more, much more blood work and x-rays and stuff like that, and realized that my neck was way out of whack. And so several weeks of chiropractic adjustment on that. And he also, with the blood work he did, realized that I have 18 different food sensitivities or allergies. And they're all things I was eating on a daily basis and have been eating for decades. All healthy foods. So now working through that and trying to eliminate those and see some results, but I really haven't. That's been 6 weeks now that I've been seeing him and haven't seen any changes. He thinks, you know, it's just a long-term path. The toxins have been built up in my body because of the food I was eating, and so now as I, you know, try not to eat those foods, that it's going to take time for those toxins to be released. And in the meantime, life can still be very interesting. So, but I've also had the opportunity to travel a lot, still doing a lot of work with Sleep and Heavenly Peace on the disaster relief side and on a project management side for some of the larger builds they do around the country with different large sponsors. So I've had 12 different trips of almost a week, 4 to 5 days each one throughout the year. And that has been interesting. It has been fun. I've been to California more times in the last year than I've been my whole life. So that was a lot of fun to see some different areas of that. And I really enjoy the group that I work with. That is really what makes it worthwhile to be able to work with the guys I'm working with and to see the good that has been able to do throughout the country. Also got a chance to teach a tool time activity at Camp Shaw this summer, which was something I've wanted to do for years and just hadn't taken the time and effort to do that. So helping kids to work with tools there was fun and exciting. And unfortunately, I've had to limit somewhat the work and the help I can do with the church in Bradley where I've been, because I can't raise my voice for an extended period of time in leading singing, in leading prayer and teaching class. And I'm really trying to hold my voice back this morning because that causes pressure in my head and makes my head hurt worse. So I haven't done any of that because they don't have a sound system like this. So the only reason I'm here when Alan asked me to come is I'm like, well, I know you guys got a good sound system, so I can try to keep my voice low, and I know that you're able to hear me because of this. And so when I mentioned Wednesday night that I wouldn't be in Bradley this morning because I was going to preach here, and I said I'm only going because I don't have to raise my voice because they have a really good sound system, because we don't have a good sound system. We don't have a sound system really at all in Bradley, and so I feel that I'm limited there. So anyway, all that to catch you up on what's been a good year in a lot of ways, but an interesting year and a painful year in a lot of other ways. And some of that's going to come into this morning's lesson, because the lesson is titled Persistence, Not Perfection. And this is a sermon that I actually put together earlier in the year. And I think, it was earlier in the year that I taught this in Wilmington before I was trying to limit raising my voice and finding that hurt much more. And so it was early in the year that I taught this lesson in Wilmington, but I didn't like it. And so I've rewritten it because I liked the message. I didn't feel that the way I delivered the message was right. You know, this perfection part that I struggle with and wanting to do everything perfectly versus persisting. So I'm persisting in this because I've also then, one of the benefits of having a 45-minute drive on Sunday morning is that I did the lesson several times in my head on the way here and then rewrote parts of it in my head on the way here. So we're going to see which version comes out today because the notes aren't there. But I always had that struggle when I taught class here too, is because that drive, I'd be going through my head of what I had prepared and then changing things, and so we'll see. But I like the message because I feel the message has come from my life and has been helpful for me, but the presentation has been what I struggle with. So we're going to keep on the persistence part of sharing the message and seeing if, as we work towards perfecting it, if it's beneficial to us all this morning. And again, it's a lesson that I've written for myself, but I want to share with you then, because it's an application that I feel that I have benefited from, but still struggle with in moving towards perfection. And so in doing that, I have to share some more things about my life. You're going to get all way too much of me probably this morning by the time we're done, but share some stuff to give you some perspective and to help with that application, to see if the application, not necessarily the same way or because of the same things that I applied or was made able to apply to my life, but things that are happening in your life, things that you're doing, to see if you can make that application there. So it's not meant to judge you by these are things that I'm doing in my life and that's what you should be doing. They're just things I'm doing and that have helped me with this application. So it's not meant to judge you. It's not meant to brag on me. I'm not doing well because of me. I'm doing well because of the way God has blessed me. But I'm certainly the cause of my curses and causes of the things that are not going right in my life. I will take credit for that. But for 10 years or more, I've really focused on the food that I eat and trying to eat the right things. One time even adopting is called a Mediterranean diet. I think it's one of the healthiest diets that there is. And when I say diet, it's not about counting calories, but it's about eating the right foods and having that diet made up. Your diet is a total of what you eat and having those right kinds of food. I really don't limit calories at all. I try to limit limit my food to what is a clean food, is what I call it, chemical free. It's not GMO. It's all organic if I can do that. And I've come to a conclusion really that has kept me on a line of eating what God has given us. Okay, we get the recurring blah 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 through the ad industry and that about what is currently bad for us. Many are familiar with a term that came to be years ago of what the other white meat. Okay? And that was all talking about this meat was bad for you, but the other white meat, well, that was good for you. Eggs have been bad for us at times. Beef has been bad for us. You go through the cycles, and it's at some point something is bad for us. And so what I've really tried to focus on is just eating clean food, which is to me is chemical free. And if it's something that God gave us in the way that God gave it to us, then that's what I prefer. And that gets away from the genetically modified, that gets away from the hydrogenated, and gets away from a lot of things that we as man thinking we're smarter. And that's a whole other subject to talk about. But sometimes we think we're smarter and create foods, but that isn't always the best for us. So in doing that, and I really, again, talk about that just to that there's been this process that I've gone through, and I've spent a lot of time on it. I spent a lot of effort, and there's been hardship, there's been stress, there's been sacrifice, there's been a commitment all for an end result, an end goal of being healthy, healthier, we'll say, healthier than I was. And it hasn't come through perfection. I haven't always eaten exactly what I'm supposed to eat. But it's been okay because I've been persistent with it. And so being persistent and not perfect, I've realized results. I've seen results in that. And so when I talk about perfect, we're going to say that this means without fault. Okay? And that's without, is what that's my shorthand for without. So without fault, meaning that I never ate the wrong food. That didn't happen. So it's not perfection that I've had, but I've had persistence of where day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I've continued to eat mostly right food. Mostly what I consider the food that I want to be eating. Okay? I won't say right. I'm going to say what, staying on the course that I wanted to be on. Okay? But that didn't mean that there wasn't a garbage meal once in a while. And I call a garbage meal food that I wasn't supposed to, I didn't want to be eating. Fried chicken maybe, or going out with friends and eating way too much fried food. For me, that isn't what I wanted to do. So I would allow myself that though, because I was being persistent in the long term and not perfect the whole time. And then so we define perfection as being without fault. But persistent, when I looked that up, it says inclined to persist. Well, okay, that doesn't help me much. I never liked the definition that included the word in the definition. Okay. So I do like this though. Persistence is to go on stubbornly, in spite of opposition. Okay? Persistence is going on stubbornly in spite of opposition. And I really like this definition because it doesn't talk about just rolling something downhill. Okay, something going downhill will keep on going on. We may say it persists in going on, but that's not really persist. Persist would be going uphill and going over those bumps, going uphill, because you've got to stubbornly continue on. There's got to be effort in there. Okay, so I didn't continue eating the right foods without effort. I mentioned that there was all kinds of effort and hardship and stress and sacrifice in order for me to do what I wanted to do. But I went on stubbornly in spite of opposition. And that opposition may come in laziness. It may come in a lack of the right resources and being able, going to a restaurant and not finding what I wanted there. So I would just go on with it. It means going on with stubbornly, even though the cost may be prohibitive at times. We can come up with all kinds of reasons that would slow us down or stop us. But if we persist in it, that means we're going on stubbornly in spite of opposition. So realize there's going to be opposition in the things we want to do, and we go on stubbornly. Okay? So also, something else that has helped me make application, something that I saw that helped me make this application, is that for the last, I think it's 2.5 years now, I've been going to the gym several times a week, and doing a CrossFit workout. I started out with 2 days a week and then maybe 3 days a week, and that progressed to 5 or 6 times a week that I was going going to the gym to work. And it would be early mornings, it could be afternoons, and I mean, when I say early mornings, we're talking 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? And it could be afternoons, evenings, weekends, there were times I was doing it, showing up tired, showing up when snowing and icing out, and also then going through pain and discomfort to do the work, okay? So again, spending a lot of time, effort, hardship, stress, sacrifice, and being committed for an end goal of being healthier than I was. And by being persistent and not perfect, okay, I would show up and I wouldn't do all 20 push-ups or something like that, maybe even missing workouts and not going, 5 or 6 times a week. Maybe I only went 4. And maybe even once I was there, being a sloth at it, not doing, the work that was recommended that day. So by being persistent and not perfect, though, again, over 2.5 years, I have realized results. And those results came from being persistent. Okay? And again, I don't say that to brag on myself of what's been going on. I'm just saying that this is what's been happening. And I've seen something come out of this. And that's where I want to make an application. Because as I've continued to talk about these things over the last couple of years, Andy has always kept encouraging me that, well, okay, so blah, 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 physical stuff. What's the spiritual application? Okay? And I haven't always shared that, but it's been there in the back of my mind, even from the beginning. Because on the flip side of all of this persistence and not perfection and seeing results in my physical life, as a Christian, my spiritual life, I feel like there are areas I'm still struggling in, and I shouldn't be. And we have that as we go through life. There are even things in our physical life that we struggle with and we don't think we should be. Okay? And some of them are even repeat struggles. I've had this struggle before. Why am I struggling with this again? Or why didn't I get over this? Why I was doing good for a while. Why am I not doing good anymore? And some of it's just in basic stuff of patience in a long line. There were times that I couldn't get in a line at all. But then I had some really good years to where long lines, I could stand there and go, nothing. You just keep moving. We'll keep going. It's no big deal. And now I found myself recently in being in lines and going, I don't know if I can do this, okay? And even lack of compassion for others. I find myself at times judging people as soon as I see them based on the way they look and go, nope, not going to have anything to do with that person. I think that is so wrong on so many levels. We need to have compassion and understanding for people. And we know that, but we don't always do that. Then there's times that I get around what I'll call construction workers, and I start talking like a construction worker. And I mean that to using coarse language when I'm with them because that's what they're doing. And I know that that's not right. I know I shouldn't do that. And there's times that I struggle with that. So there are things in my life, and I just want to share those things and saying that because a lot of times we can relate to them or we see other things in our lives. And we struggle with that. We want patience. I want to be patient. And so God gives me long lines to stand in or wait in. And I'm thinking, I don't want this long line, so I'm going to go somewhere else where I don't have to deal with this. No, that's how we become patient, is being in that long line and getting through it with a smile or with a glad heart or getting through it in a way that isn't sinful, because that's how we build those muscles of patience, as we're in those long lines. And we pray for patience, and God gives us long lines. God gives us things that help us to become stronger and more patient, but we need to go through those workouts of being in the long line and doing it gracefully and doing it sinlessly in order to get stronger at it. God gives us people in our lives that test us, that we perhaps judge incorrectly instead of having compassion and patience with them. But God gives us those people, and we try to avoid them because we know they're going to test us. We know they're going to stress us. We know they're going to be difficult to deal with, and so we try to avoid them. That's not how we become stronger. That's not how we build the muscles of compassion. We build those muscles by being with those people, having compassion on them, trying to understand with them, having patience with them. God gives us those things to strengthen us and to build our muscles. Because I know that there are areas that I struggle with. And then I've always been impressed reading about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. It says he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, and we're talking about Philip here, there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all the treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And that's just always something that's clicked in my mind. I'm going, this guy wasn't even, he wasn't one of God's chosen people at this time. Why was he spending time reading Isaiah? And I'm like, I am one of God's children, and I don't spend the time that I should in reading what I should. And I always think, why is he more holy than I am? Okay, this is what's going through my head. And then read about Cornelius a couple chapters later in Acts chapter 10. It says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming into him to say, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. I'm thinking again, this isn't one of God's chosen people. He seems somewhat religious. He's certainly not saved. So why does he go through all this of giving alms and being a devout person, fearing God? And I'm reading a lot into this as an example, but this is what's going through my mind. I'm seeing someone who is more religious than me, more holy than me, and I'm like, why? How is he that way? And I see people similar to this in my daily life, knowing that they're maybe not even a Christian, but they're more compassionate than I am. They're more patient than I am. I see them living seemingly more godly lives than I am. And I'm thinking, why? Why are they able to live a life of sacrifice and what I perceive to be a life of sacrifice, okay? And I'm not. I'm judging them and what I see, and I'm judging myself and what I know. And I know that I'm not doing all that I should. And why am I not as good as that person? And really come to realize there's no magic pill. Excuse me. There's no hidden secret. People succeed or fail for the same reasons in their jobs. They succeed or they fail, or they in their studies, in their relationships, in their finances, in their exercise, or their diet routines, or in their obedience to God because of persistence. And certainly not perfection. People succeed in their jobs because they're persistent in them and the work that they do. People are persistent or successful in their studies at school or in their relationships or in their finances because they're persistent in them. I was successful in my exercise and diet routines because I was persistent in them. I haven't been as successful as I want to be in my obedience to God because of a lack of persistence in a lot of ways. But it's that persistence and not getting caught up in perfection that we need to focus on. Michael Jordan, they say, is one of the greatest of all time in basketball. Was he perfect? No. Miss shots? Yes. And I only use him as a sports example because the world, even around us, can relate to that. But when we look to The spiritual examples we have of Abraham and Moses, Isaac, David, Peter, Paul, were they perfect? No. We know that. But we still count them as great examples for ourselves. Why? Mostly, I think, it's because they were persistent. They stayed the course. Even, I mean, the first few chapters about Abraham, we learn, we see the mistakes he made in as he was traveling with his wife and saying that she was his sister. And I think back on those things and I'm like, it happened not just once, it happened a couple times. And I'm like, didn't he remember? Didn't he learn? Well, it wasn't about perfection. It was about persistence. Moses, certainly not perfect, but persistent. All the way down the line, Isaac, David, Peter, so many things we could point out about his imperfections. But yet, we see as he wrote the book of Peter that we studied here even if within the last few years, that years later, he was an elder, which tells us a whole lot about him and the life he led after Jesus was on earth that shows that he was persistent. We know he wasn't perfect. And one of the things we need to realize is that as we are persistent and perhaps striving for perfection and knowing that we can't be perfect, but one of the things that perfection or the striving of perfection can do for us is take us off course. Because a lack of perfection distracts us. A lack of perfection disappoints us. And that can lead us to stop what we're doing. It can lead us to stop our persistence because we get this opposition, and so we don't stubbornly continue in spite of that opposition because that striving for perfection discourages us, disrupts our lives, disappoints us. We can look to God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13 says, therefore, preparing our minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We look at verses like that and the layout is there. What we need to do is there. How we need to live our lives is even within those couple verses. Be holy as I am holy. But yet, we're not. The message is there for us. Simply, even in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul writes, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's all we have to do is imitate Paul. Imitate Christ. It's as simple as that. But we look at our perfection and saying, well, I failed. And that distracts us, disappoints us. And so we fall off of this going on stubbornly in spite of the opposition. The message is there for us. The directions are there for us is what we need to do and what we should do. But we fail. We can be what God wants us to be if we'll be persistent and seek perfection. We know from much of God's word that we cannot be perfect, that we will not be perfect, but that shouldn't keep us from going on and persisting in the right path. People succeed or fail at their jobs, at their studies, at their relationships, at their finances, at their exercise and diet routines, at their obedience to God from a lack of persistence or from being persistent as they ought to be. I said they succeed or fail. We succeed because we're persistent. We fail because we're not persistent. But it's not just persistent. You know, we can look at this and say, okay, you know, And this is where I struggle with this lesson is how do we break this down more without just saying it is persistence? Because to me, that there's so much to that. And I couldn't wrap my mind all the way around it. But a couple things came to mind. One, we've got to want it. It seems so simple. But we need to have that willingness to be persistent. If we don't want to have that, we're not going to. And there's all kinds of things that we could go off on tangents about this. But I'm trying to keep at least through this lesson some of it simple. And I've got other lessons in mind to break it down some more. But we need to have that willingness to be persistent. We need to have that willingness to do what's necessary to be persistent, which is really that you got to want it. I wanted to be healthier, and so I persisted in searching for the foods that would help me to do that. I wanted to be physically healthier in my actions because as I was getting older, I'm seeing myself slowing down and not doing the things I wanted to do. So I willingly went to the gym and I willingly continued to go to the gym even though I didn't necessarily want to do the work, but I persisted in it. We need, in this willingness then, and being persistent, what does that mean is, and I'm going to have to write too low here, I don't know if everybody will be able to see it, but really is having goals. Okay, my goals were for better health. So that's where I you know, that was the goal that got me started. But really from there, and I'm thinking back to the lessons that Alan has taught us about goals, is we need to create, in order for us to accomplish our goals, we can have goals, okay? A lot of people have the goal of being healthier and exercising, and so they, in January they sign up at the local gym. The problem is by the end of January that gym's pretty empty again, okay? Because it was a good goal to have, but they needed the habits then. We need to create habits that will help us achieve those goals. Because more than likely, we have habits in our life that are keeping us. If we're not achieving the goals that we want, we have habits that are keeping us from achieving those goals. And so we need to look at what our habits are, and if we need to change those to help us accomplish those goals, then those habits are going to come from actions. Okay? The things that we're actually doing. Okay? If we want to be able to persist in that, we need to have the right goals. We need to have that willingness to do that. But we need to also have the habits that are going to allow us to achieve those goals. And these habits are created by the actions of our life. And that's where the next sermon in my head, at least at this point, is going down that path and bringing those. There's a book that I'm reading now called Atomic Habits, I think is what it's called. And that's where I'm seeing a lot of these things that help us to move forward to that is in creating those actions in that. Because a lot of times we think we have actions, and really all we have is what the book calls motion. And that motion is where we read about the right foods to eat. We read about the right exercises. We read about the plans for reading the Bible reading the Bible through a year. Okay, we look at those charts and see all that, and so we say that's the things we want to do. And so those are what they call motion, to where you feel like you're doing something, but you haven't started the actions yet to create the habits to get to the goals. And I'm way off track of where I wanted to be now, because I'm into the stuff I was in my head this morning driving here. But that's okay, because I think those are still helpful. But we talk about that willingness to do it, okay? The willingness to persist. But the other thing that comes in and becomes a big distractor is priority. Okay? We have this willingness. I want to be healthier. I want to be more faithful. I want to be more obedient to God. So now where does that fall into our priority? We set goals, okay? The goals we achieve are because of the habits that we set, and the habits come from our actions, And so what is the priority to do that? And that's where I've seen for myself over these last couple of years, as I've seen my gym life become a priority, as I've seen the eating of good foods become a priority, and I'm willing to do that, I've also seen my daily Bible reading not become a priority. And so I go through a cycle of I get it as a priority and I fall into a good habit of it because of the actions I'm taking, but then all of a sudden it maybe becomes more of a motion to where I just think about it and I skip that one morning, and then the next morning I skip it again, and pretty soon I'm now into a habit of not doing my daily Bible reading because of the actions I'm doing. I'm doing something else. Something else has become a priority in that time slot, and so I go through that cycle. And I need to get back to the goal of wanting to read my Bible every day and persisting in that by being willing to do it, but by also making it a priority. And that's, the priority becomes the harshness of our reality, because we can say, oh, I want to do that. Okay, well, why aren't you? Whatever it is. Why aren't you? Why aren't I reading my Bible on a daily basis? Why aren't I being more patient? Because it's not a priority. That's the harsh reality of it. And so we just need to do the things to help it become a priority. And there's all kinds of things that we could talk about for that, but for time's sake this morning, that's also part of the next lesson. So that priority has to be there. It has to be important to us. And we've heard it said before that we do what's important to us. Our day is filled with whatever's important to us. And again, that's a harsh reality for a lot of times, because we want to say, oh, I want to read my Bible. And I'm using that as a simple application because we all want that, I believe, but we don't always do that all the time. And it's just because other things take a priority that day. And it could just be because our kids are sick. We got a flat tire that morning. The boss called and had this extra task he wanted us to do. Whatever it was, neighbor needed help. Something distracted us that morning and became a priority and changed our habit for that morning, but changed our actions. And so we lose that priority for the day. And it doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but over time, if it becomes that we're not persisting in reading our Bible, then it's because we haven't been willing to go on stubbornly in spite of opposition. Things are going to come up as opposition, whatever they may be. So we need to see that. It has to be the priority. So we can look at other verses that help us focus on what we need to be doing. Matthew chapter 22. There's an example there. A lawyer comes to Jesus. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35 says, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I'm using verses that I think simplify everything for us. A lot of times we try to complicate how we do all these things. Now, certainly we take this, how do we love your neighbor as yourself? How do we love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Well, first of all, it needs to be a priority for us. If that's not a priority, it's not going to happen. Matthew chapter 7, back a few verses, or a few chapters. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be open. It's as simple as that. But do we knock? Do we ask? Do we seek? And then we wonder why nothing is given to us, nothing is found, no doors are opened. But a lot of times, it's just not a priority for us to do that. We're going to fail in our lives. We're going to fail physically. We're going to fail spiritually. God gave us the free will to make
bad choices along with our good choices. And people are going to come along and tell us, oh, that doesn't work, you can't do that. That's going to be a distraction for us. But not everyone wants to change. So if we have failed in spiritual things in our lives, we can change that. People love the thought of being healthy, being successful, having financial freedom, of doing the right things, helping others, being a faithful Christian. People love the thought of that. But people don't necessarily like the dedication it takes, the devotion those things take, the sacrifice and the effort, the persistence that it takes, that requires us to go on stubbornly in spite of opposition. Persistence requires a long run. I didn't see the results of my eating habits change overnight. I didn't see the results of going to the gym change overnight. But we can see our faith become stronger. We can see our habits become better if we will stay in it for the long run. And again, we're going to have those things that are going to come up and distract us, disappoint us as we seek for perfection and thinking that we need to do this right all the time. And as I mentioned, that persistence requires a long run. If we want to be healthy, we need to be doing healthy things, not just in January when we set that goal. But the same way, our spiritual life requires a long run of persistence while we still have time on the earth. We don't know what that time is, but we need to be willing to do whatever it takes. We need to have it as our priority in our life, certainly above our physical health and the physical things of this world. So I hope this has helped us to think about things differently, perhaps, to recognize some things in our own lives of where we have failed because we haven't been persistent. We've given up on it. We've been distracted because of a lack of perfection. We've been disappointed by that lack of perfection. But if we will set the goals for the areas that we want to achieve in or accomplish in or better our lives, strengthen our lives in, if we will set those goals and then create the habits to do that and then define the actions that help us create those habits. And that's where I want to take this lesson a step further at some point and strengthen not only myself, but be able to strengthen others too. So I thank you for your time this morning. Again, I hope this has been helpful.